G'day, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel On My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hello, Jono. Do you believe in UFOs?
Not so much.
You don't because you've never seen one, you've never been abducted, you just don't like the whole idea, or you just don't know? I mean, throw me something. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what, in the spirit of Christmas, the three wise men, if you like, might have been following a UFO.
Some people even claim that Ezekiel talks about a UFO in chapter one. I mean, there is, remember, a wheel within a wheel?
Yeah.
What do you reckon? It turns out that the Pentagon in Washington acknowledged on Saturday that its long secret UFO investigation program ended in 2012. Listen, it's called the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program. Evidently, this thing's been going on. Now, some say it's still going on, but they just don't talk about it.
Well, if they just don't talk about it, why would they tell us that it ended if it wasn't something they were talking about in the first place?
No, it got leaked out. They discovered that there's been some $22 million in annual funding secretly tucked away in U.S. Defense Department budgets. And, you know, and then once it comes out, they're like, well, yeah, you know, we're looking. So this brings up all the questions. You got to wonder if any of this really happened at Roswell. And I mean, was E.T. really true? Yeah, I mean, come on.
Was E.T.? That's right. Is Fox Mulder out of a job? So this was in the Jerusalem Post, right? Does Pentagon still have a UFO program? Hey, now, really, really quickly, does Israel have a space program? This was in No Camels. Fly me to the moon. Space IL launches funding plea to complete space race amid financial troubles. They need another, I don't know if you've got this in your wallet, but $7.5 million. They need $7.5 million to be the fourth country after the US, Russia, and China to complete a controlled lunar landing. It'll be dashed if they don't come up with the $7.5 million.
How much money do they need? $7 million?
Seven and a half. Maybe I'll chip in $500,000 if you've got seven. We'll get
this
happening.
I'll work on it. Maybe we could talk to our listeners. Maybe our listeners could make the check out to me. And then we'll get it over to the right people.
We'll figure it out from there. One of five finalists to the prestigious Google Lunar X Prize competition with a mission to land an unmanned spacecraft on the moon and may have to forfeit. So if anyone's got some spare change, you can
send
help.
It to me and I'll get it to them.
That's what we'll do. We'll be back. Right, we've got so much going on in this week's program. Don't go away. You're going to love it. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to Israel On My Mind with Jono Vandoor and Ross Nichols on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hello, Jono.
There is so much. Oh, my goodness. So much has happened.
I had the same thought. There is so much happening in the news right now. I don't know. We might have to do a doubleheader.
I barely know where to begin, but I'm going to start with this. And this was in the Jerusalem Post. Jerusalem municipality distributing free Christmas trees. Did you know that?
I did know that. And did you know, do you remember I was in Jerusalem last Christmas?
Wait, really?
I really was. So I went there for Hanukkah and it happened to coincide and they had Santa Claus in the streets and I was kind of amazed.
You were surprised by the level of saturation of Christmas in Jerusalem. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I thought that I would be getting away from it, you know, going from the States to Jerusalem, and I stayed in the old city, but it was everywhere. So
did it snow? Because I know it snows around, you know, what is it? Is that more of a January thing or?
Well, it didn't snow when we were there, but it was quite beautiful. And on the way to the old city, we'd see, you know, the candles burning outside the, you know, in the nice little glass cases, and then we'd walk by Santa Claus.
Right.
I did see that about they're giving away 6-foot Arizona cypress trees.
So what
about 150 of them?
150 free Christmas trees to Jerusalem residents. What are we to think of that? I'll tell you, I kind of find that weird. I find that weird because it reminded me, and I'm going to go to it, and you know the one I'm talking about. In fact, I bet you can guess it. It reminded me of a Bible verse. Guess which one?
Jeremiah chapter 10.
There it is. I'm going to read it. Right?
Now, how did I know that?
I know. So it kind of weirds me out a bit, to tell you the truth. So Jeremiah chapter 10, it says, and I'm going to read just five verses. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the ways of the Gentiles. Don't be dismayed at the signs of heavens, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe, and then they decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it doesn't topple. And then it goes on to say in verse 8, but they're altogether dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. This is what it says. And every time I read that, I think, Christmas tree.
Well, a lot of people do think that, decking it with silver and gold and, you know, but it does say don't be scared of it. So you're not scared of it. You just think it's kind of weird.
It's, you know, well, yeah, it's never really scared me, but it does kind of, I'll tell you what, in this day and age where we're supposed to be getting greener, I think the thing we shouldn't be doing is cutting down trees for a futile purpose, for perhaps what, you know, many would refer to as idolatry, or at least related to such. But, you know, look, I know there are Christians that listen to this program, and good day to you guys, and I respect your right to believe what you believe. But why does it have to involve cutting down trees in Israel? And why?
Well, it's only 150, and they're Arizona spruces. Maybe they bring them in. But yeah, good day to the Christian audience. But let me ask you this: or say this. It's not just the trees. They're putting up lights. I mean, they're going all out for this. But there's a positive to this. Would you believe that?
Go on.
Okay. Well, here's my spin on it. What do you think would happen? Have you seen the news out of Nazareth? Now, you're talking about Jerusalem municipality.
Yes.
What's going on in Nazareth?
What's going on in Nazareth? So I have. So it's going from one extreme to the other. So in Jerusalem, they're handing out Christmas trees.
You would have rather been in Nazareth is what you're telling me.
No, I
wouldn't. Were they restrict religious freedom?
Well, no.
They would have met you on that one, Jonah.
But the Christians have religious freedom in Jerusalem, but you don't have to go handing out free Christmas trees. I just find that weird considering what it says in the book. However, I will admit, I find it even weirder that Nazareth are doing what they're doing. Let us know what's going down.
Well, first of all, the guy canceled. The mayor of Nazareth canceled Christmas. I mean,
Grinch.
How do you cancel Christmas?
Grinch.
Yeah, the Grinch.
Yeah.
So he cancels Christmas. He said, no Christmas for you. And he did it to, I guess, because he was really mad at Trump's declaration on Jerusalem. So he gets out. You know how some politicians blast something on Twitter or make a statement, and then their cabinet comes around and says, hey, easy, boss, you're taking away all our money.
Right.
So he canceled it. Now it's back on, from what I understand.
Oh, and he's had to back down. Because, I mean, I just imagine, you know, so Trump says, oh, you know, by the way, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Like, we all know that. And he's gone, what? On the phone to Santa Claus. Forget it, buddy. Canceling you. Don't come here. Don't stop here. We're not doing it.
That's going to punish Trump. I mean, half his family's Jewish anyway. They're doing Hanukkah and all that, so it doesn't hurt him.
He doesn't care. But Nazareth is the go-to. I mean, for the Christian audience, Nazareth is very, very important, right?
Well, you would think so, at least in the stories that are told associated with the gospel narrative. But the thing is, Christians have been so treated so badly that the population, the demographics in Nazareth, the Christian is very, very, very much a minimal part of that town now.
Is that right?
Look, I got an article here when they went back on. Christmas in Nazareth, where to eat, sleep, and celebrate this holiday season. This is from timeout.com.
Oh, yeah.
And look, this part of the article says, on the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me authentic Arab hospitality. How about that? Yep. So they're talking about the Ramada Olivia Nazareth, a 5-star hotel. You can stay there if you go there for Christmas. You can search for Santa at the market. I mean, what a great day to spend, great way to spend your day, you know, in Nazareth, is shopping the Christmas market there.
So it's all back on, is what you're saying. So it was
It's back on.
So it was the Times of Israel that had the headline, Nazareth cancels Christmas celebrations to protest U.S. move on Jerusalem. It was also, now who's, this was, I like it, Israeli Cool. G'day to Aussie Dave. Israeli Cool, great website. That headline was, the Arab Grinches who stole Christmas,
That's what I said. I called him a Grinch too. Yeah.
Absolutely. No, that was brilliant. No. Wow. What a funny story. Now another funny story related to Christmas, and I found this through Jerusalem Post as well. And you and I were talking about this guy last week. Roger Waters, right? It says the headline is...
Oh, there's our boy.
It's Roger Waters to serenade Bethlehem Palestinians for Christmas. He's going there to do Christmas carols. He's leading the Christmas carols.
Well, that might be kind of interesting. You know what we ought to do is start a boycott Roger Waters doing a Christmas carol in
I don't think any listeners about. I don't think listeners of this program were really planning on going. But... But apparently he is. He's going to he's doing a little Christmas gig.
He's running out of friends. I mean, that may be the only place he can find anybody to take a concert.
Only place he can get a gig now. Yeah, there it is. That's Bethlehem. And that's on the 22nd.
Hey, speaking of holidays, though.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else on Christmas?
No, I don't think. Hang on, let me have a look. No, I think I'm done for Christmas. What do you got?
Well, I think we're getting up on a break, but we do need to talk a little bit about Hanukkah. You know, we've been through Hanukkah, and I think that one of the things that we ought to talk about, I know that we both try to eat pretty healthily, but you know, there's a lot of unhealthy food that's taken down during Hanukkah. We mentioned this last week. I happened to see an article about 8 interesting facts about donuts. Have you seen this?
Oh, I saw the headline and I avoided it. What are those interesting facts? Give it to me in a nutshell. A donut in a nutshell.
Well, Israel consumes 24 million donuts in a year. Can you believe that?
That's wrong.
How do you say the donuts in Hebrew? Do you know this word?
I don't.
Sufganiyot.
Sufganiyot. Really? Wow.
Yeah. They're fried in oil. They were called the miracle of the oil that burned for 8 days. No. We have to go through these, but I think we have to go on a break. But we have to go through.
We got a couple of minutes. We got a couple of minutes. Give us a couple more.
Okay, let's see. Here we go. Ancient origins. Fried dough. The precursor to today's donuts was enjoyed in ancient times through Greece and Rome. Did you know that?
No.
Yep, there you go. That's a fact. I mean, it's not that inciting, but it's a fact. How about bringing donuts to Europe? Fried dough was popular throughout the Middle East during the medieval period.
You mean it didn't come to you? We brought it to Europe, is what you're saying? It didn't come from America, donuts. The Jews brought...
Oh, no.
We brought donuts.
I don't know where they got them.
Okay.
Making donuts kosher. Donuts soon became popular across Europe, especially after it became more common to keep chickens and eggs.
All right. No, but listen, you know what? If you are going to have donuts, at least make it maybe a little bit more interesting. I found this article in No Camels, and it did catch my eye, even though I am... You and I are kind of, like you said, very healthy eaters. But seeing that because we did all that fat shaming, a couple of weeks ago, I think? Remember when we were talking about the injection that you can have that'll melt away your fat? Remember that?
I do remember that, and I have some stuff on that as well. We've got some health tips on this show.
Oh, okay, and we're going to return to that. Because someone did point out that, for those of us who aren't actually mobile, that this might actually be a really, beneficial thing for them. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's fair enough. If you can't get around and exercise to a point where you're losing weight and whatnot, this injection may well be a very fair alternative. When I was absolutely saying, no, there's no place for this whatsoever, one of our listeners said, you know what, it really could be.
And that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So
let's talk about another way to cut fat maybe after the break.
All right, let's go to a break because I've got something else too on eating unhealthily, but this one kind of appeals to me a little bit. I'm going to run this by you, but we'll do this straight after the break. We're going to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away. Welcome back to your listeners. You're listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Vandoor and Ross Nichols on Israel News Talk Radio. We went to the break talking about eating unhealthy food. I'm just going to say it. Donuts, not healthy thing. And but I have
We're really trying to help people, Jono. Do they appreciate this? Because we're really giving them some good tips. I know
that it's the traditional Hanukkah food, but so many of our holidays involve unhealthy food, and I don't know that that's a good thing. I don't know. Anyway, I'll tell you this. I didn't have any donuts. Didn't have one. Did you have one?
I didn't either. No, I did not.
But tell me if this tempts you. This was in No Camels this week. Israeli ice cream startup partners. Now get this. First, you've got ice cream. Okay, partners okay. with chocolate producer for ice cream capsule system. I'm not so sure what the capsule system is. I'm just going to read about this now, but. The idea of chocolate and ice cream is kind of hard to pass up, right?
Yeah, I'm not a big sweets guy, but I will eat ice cream every now and then.
Yeah, if it's good ice cream and if it's quality chocolate, I find that hard to pass
up. Like those Magnum bars in Israel, I kind of like those every once in a while.
The ones with the almond, the almonds in, I like those ones. That's
yeah.
not bad.
Yeah,
that's good. It's a good little energy kick when you're touring around, like trekking, like we do. So this is Solo Gelato, Israeli startup Solo Gelato, a company that has worked to create an ice cream capsule system. Oh, it is it's similar to the coffee capsules. Well, how would that work?
Capsules? What are you talking about? Okay, what is this?
Okay, so you know those little coffee machines with the capsules, like you put like those little.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like a little pod, like a little coffee pod.
Yeah. So has teamed up with chocolate and cocoa. Manufacturer Barry Callebaut for a new project. The company's announced this week the partnership will enable Solo Gelato to use the chocolate producers. Oh, how do you pronounce this? Choco Gelato. The producers Choco Gelato mixes in its capsules. Testing has already proved the mix to be viable, according to a report.
Is it a hot drink or is it – what is
but,
it?
But how can you have ice cream in a hot drink?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Is it just ice cream flavor? That's what I'm wondering.
But then it's not ice cream. It's just cream.
Maybe so.
This is really confusing. So how would something like this work? There's no video, no camels. You've got to give me a video. There's a little
That's
picture.
Right.
But it doesn't really tell me how this happens. But imagine like if it's if it is chilled – And maybe you keep them in the freezer. Maybe that's what happens. And then it kind of squeezes it out into like a little, I don't know.
What? Sorry. Look, this is just, we're not helping people with the diet here. But listen, Cheesecake Factory. Do you have Cheesecake Factory in Australia?
Is that a franchise, is it? I mean, we have Cheesecake.
Yeah.
I've never seen Cheesecake Factory, but tell me about it.
The Cheesecake Factory, this was from timeout.com. I found quite a few articles on there. In this one, it says that within a week, Israelis have devoured approximately 50,000 cheesecakes in Hod HaSharon at the Sharonim Mall.
Now,
yep, these people are just tearing it up. Now, this is a Tel Aviv fashion mall.
Oh, man. And all those, and the, so many donuts and cheese. Okay, now I will say, I do appreciate a well-made cheesecake, I do. But I don't go seeking them out. But to devour that much cheesecake over a week.
Yeah, they've been trying to figure out how they can resupply. I mean, it's a big deal. We have this on our website, this particular article.
I'm gonna have to look that up. No, when you say on our website, you mean on our Facebook page. I should remind everybody
on our Facebook page.
On our Facebook page. So Israel On My Mind Facebook page, we actually have so many stories that we come across and we load them up there and we don't even get to talk about half of them, probably, I would imagine. And I haven't seen that one. I'm going to go on and check that one out now. All right. After the break, we're going to go in a totally different direction that has absolutely nothing to do with food. Stick around. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to Israel On My Mind with John O'Vandor and Ross Nichols on Israel News Talk Radio. Now, you recall last week, Ross, I told you that it was reported in the news that as soon as Trump had declared Jerusalem to be the capital of of Israel. Hamas celebrated by bombing itself. Well, they've done it again.
No way.
They did. And they did a really good job of it, actually. And it happens.
Oh, I think I heard about this.
This happens a lot. They do it a lot. As I mentioned last week, they fired off a few rockets. Some were intercepted by the Iron Dome. Some landed out in the middle of nowhere. One did mess up a couple of cars. There were no injuries. One even hit a kindergarten in Israel. But it was overnight. No one was there. There was a little bit of damage, but thank God that no one was hurt. But a lot of these rockets just land in Gaza. This is the Times of Israel, IDF. This is the headline, IDF, Gaza rockets fired at Israel, falls short, strikes house in Gaza Strip. But it strikes the house, this is the kicker, is that apparently it struck the house of the brother of a Hamas operative.
God, you got to hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
How do you think they explain that?
I don't know. So military says home in Beit Hanon, I think is pronounced Hanon, hit by rocket 2 days after a Gaza school was damaged in a similar incident. So that's another thing. See, yes, one landed in a kindergarten in Israel. No one was hurt. Another one landed in a school in Gaza, but again, it was overnight, and I don't believe there were any injuries. But
what about this Hamas official? How did that go?
Well,
anybody get hurt?
I don't know that anyone did. It says said the rocket hit the home of the Al-Masri family in the northern Gaza city of Beit Hanun. It says, once again, the terror groups launch rockets at the residents of Gaza. It's not unusual, and I'm not sure exactly what the percentage is, but if I remember correctly, I think it's something not far from 10%. Like, it's a significant number of these rockets just land in their own...
I don't want to give them any... I don't know if any of them are listening to our show. I don't want to give them any ideas, but why the hell don't they just move closer? Move closer to the line and shoot.
Well, I guess because if they're out in the middle of nowhere, it makes them easy to pick off, number one. They like to be in the city areas because they're...
But if you can't aim... I mean, that's what I do with kids when I'm teaching them how to throw a ball or something. If they can't throw it from 50 feet, you say, come on up a little bit.
Come on up.
I mean, that's obviously
because it's more dangerous for them, because if they're out of the populated area and they send a rocket, then it's easy for Israel to say, just take you out. But if you
sounds pretty dangerous the way they're doing it now,
if you fire it from the top of a hospital or something, well, that's a different story, you know, because Israel being the IDF being the most, you know, moral army in the world. I have to think twice and go, well, we can't take them out on top of a hospital. What are we going to figure something out?
Right.
But this is the situation. So therefore, they fire from populated areas to protect themselves, and sometimes the rockets just don't make it out. And they don't really, they're just kind of vaguely, like I said last week, it's not rocket science. It's just rocket. You know, this is what Hamas thinks. They've got the rockets. They know how to make rockets. They just don't have the science part down. And that's, you know, good for us. But having said that, I mean, every time the Iron Dome has to take down one of these rockets before it gets to a populated area in Israel, there's something like 50 grand wasted, you know, just to...
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's where it really hurts. But thank God that no one's been injured.
Well,
by
they're
one
actually
of these
pretty good. One of the things that I've read is they're able to detect... I was in air defense when I was in the military. They're able to detect... If the trajectory will put it in a community or in an area where people might be injured, they shoot the anti-missile at it. If it's going into an open field, they just let it go. Did you know that? So they don't waste. They don't shoot down
if
everything.
If they don't have to, that's right, yeah.
That's right. So that helps a little bit.
Yeah.
But Gaza. Man, Gaza's really a troublesome area. let me tell you this. If you were going to Gaza and if you could prove that you were from North Korea, there is a restaurant there that will give you a great deal on a meal. Did you see this?
That's true. Now, by the way, I woke up the other morning to hear that, you remember the WannaCry virus that went around the world, you know, demanding amounts of money from people because they're their computer had been locked up, and you would only receive the key if you sent X amount of money. And it was just holding people to ransom, and a lot of people were just paying it because it wasn't a huge amount of money and they didn't want to risk it and everything, and then they'd get sent the key to be unlocked. Well, they've tracked that down, it was reported in the news, to North Korea, right? Thanks very much, North Korea. They're not making many friends, and they're really going out of their way to be seen as a bit of a loose cannon. But what you're saying is, I mean, they're no friend of the US right now, that's for sure. And I usually fly to Seoul from Australia to Seoul and then to Israel. But last November when you and I were in Israel, I decided, no, I'm going to go via Hong Kong this time because things are just a little bit hot. But this was in the Times of Israel. Gaza Eatery offers discounts to North Koreans if ever they arrive.
Yeah, but it's a substantial discount. It's 80%. So ooh, if you...
No, but they're saying that there are no North Koreans in Gaza. Why not say 100%? Because there's no North Koreans. Just say, hey, if you're from North Korea, come here and eat for free.
Yeah, you could say that, because what if they show up and then you have to be, you know, you have to honor... Well, I don't guess you have to, but
I don't think
maybe
anyone
they might show up.
You never know. I mean... Now, how would a North Korean get to Gaza? They'd have to land in Ben-Gurion, wouldn't they?
I'm sure.
I guess.
Well, the problem wouldn't be landing at Ben-Gurion. It'd be leaving Pyongyang. The problem would be getting out of North Korea. So he's got a safe bet going on there.
I think he does.
I'm with you. He could just say 100%.
He could say
100%. Be done with
it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. What else have we got?
Hey, let's go to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, you want to go to Saudi Arabia? Go on. What's happening there?
I do. This crown prince is off the leash. You hear me? I mean, he is pushing every envelope. Remember last week
you said that he was saying that, okay, you can go watch, finally go and watch Back to the Future in the cinema now.
Yeah, that's right.
That was popular in the 80s when we closed them down.
That's right. And you can eat your popcorn through your burqa. But look, so he's already opened up the theaters. Guess what? Now, we've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah.
They're going to start letting women drive. Now, it's not – so you could get your wife to drive you to a movie if you're in Saudi Arabia. It says that in Saudi Arabia, they'll be driving after June. So you've got until June.
They may as well get a Statue of Liberty set up somewhere now.
They ought to. That's what I'm saying. This guy is just uncontrollable.
Not only can you now go to the cinema, you can even drive there. If you're a woman, you can even drive to the cinema, go and see a movie. My goodness.
You could take a carload of girls.
It's out of control.
And they could no special tags. You don't even have to have a special tag. This guy's really, really liberal here.
Okay.
They can drive trucks and motorcycles.
And
but
motorcycles.
This is the part.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is that individuals, women who are involved in accidents or who commit violations will be dealt with, get this, quote unquote, with in special centers. What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know, but I have a feeling that the family of Miss Iraq had to get out of the country fairly quickly to avoid special centers. So
yeah,
I think that he's making some steps forward, you know, in Saudi Arabia. Okay, we're moving forward into the 21st century. That's okay, out of the Middle Ages. But in Iraq, they seem to be still having some issues. The family encounters death threats, fears of safety over selfie with Israel. Okay, so it was Miss Iraq and Miss Israel. Everybody saw the photo a couple of weeks ago. They posed together during a beauty pageant, you know, as a gesture of peace. And it was beautiful, you know, pretty girls.
Right.
And it was a nice photo. Israel went, oh, well done, good stuff, more of it. Iraq went, where the hell's their family going to kill them?
Yeah, oh, it's just crazy.
So
yeah,
where do they go? Where do they go? They go to the States.
That's right.
They go out
that's
of right. here.
You can come over here. Look, women can drive here. You can go watch movies.
Go
and
watch
listen,
movies.
Talk about powerful women. Look at this Nikki Haley.
Oh, she's great.
I mean, that we're talking about American, and yeah, we
love
want
her.
This Miss Iraq over here. Come on.
Yeah.
Did you see this? I got to jump ship and tell you this U.S.
Please.
Veto of the UN, 14-1, the U.S. stood up against in the council meeting and shot down what they wanted them to do. They wanted the U.S. to rescind the declaration of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And of course, most people have seen Nikki Haley very boldly represented the United States position, and we stood up. So I'm very proud of her.
And I really like the speech that she gave. And if I do remember correctly, I think it's the first time in 6 years that America has used its veto power. Does that ring a bell with you?
It was, remember last time we just didn't do it, and we should have, and that's what she says in that speech.
Yeah, Nikki Haley, she's awesome.
Absolutely.
Now, love her. Love Nikki Haley. That is a good place to leave it. We are done for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you'll join us again this time next week. And until then, have a great one.
Be blessed.